Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
So welcome back to the We Are Women podcast. And I have got Petra Williams with me. Now, Petra has her business called Igniting Sparks Coaching. And you'll soon hear why it's called Igniting Sparks. So over the past 15 years, Petra has been involved in education, marketing, not-for-profit and events industries. And no stranger to change, Petra has changed careers 6 times.
Yep.
And that's what they're saying, that we're going to be doing that now, aren't we? That most people won't be staying in one job. Owned 2 companies and travelled around the world. Oh, my passion. Petra's life mission is to empower women to thrive. Her motto is to help women create the life they love with the person they love and live it powerfully. I'm just thinking about that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Create the life they love with the person they love and live it powerfully. Sounds good to me. Combining her marketing, life coaching, and neuro-linguistic programming skills, Petra gives her clients the strategies and tools to gain dating confidence within 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
As the founder of Women on Fire Australia and Australia's most practical dating coach, coaching workshops, events, programs are always popular because they simply transform lives. And I know you've said this, you will need an extinguisher close by when working with you because things get hot, hot, hot. Hey,
yes.
I just had one of the interviews that I've done very recently with a sex coach. So
yes.
I've had some hot conversations today. And it was interesting because I had the air conditioning off and had to go turn it on. So, Petra, tell me about yourself. It says you've been in education, and look, what I always like to know is somebody's why they do what they do. You know, most of the people I interview want to empower women, but there's a story behind a story behind a story. Mm-hmm. So tell us the Petra Williams story.
It's so interesting because often people have asked me why, and it's really – like, you know, I don't have a tragic story to share or anything like that. I suppose I grew up in South Africa, in Johannesburg, South Africa, and I German-born South African breed, I suppose. And when I was growing up, I was always really outspoken. I was always really I was the outspoken child, the outspoken girl, the loud girl, the girl who did everything, and South Africa was very conservative at the time. So, you know, that's what girls didn't do. You know, girls didn't do that kind of thing. They were sitting with their mothers and they were nice girls and pretty girls. And I was always told that I was too loud and too this and too that. And then I thought, yeah, that's not cool, man. Like, I don't care who you are, but that's not who I am. And I suppose if I had to inference it to a story, I think that's what I was told most of my life growing up. And so now I'm like, no way, you can be whoever you want to be. And it doesn't matter if you're male or female. It just, you're just human. And I think there's also such disrespect amongst people towards each other. And, you know, I think we are so fortunate to live in a first world country like Australia. But, you know, there's places like India and Africa and all those places where women are still massacred and terrible things happen to those women. And so for me, it's not just about empowering women here in Australia, but it's about empowering them here too, so we can go overseas and empower those women who don't have a voice.
And through your travels that you would have come across women in the different countries. I know I've traveled quite a bit too, third world countries, and it's always an eye-opener, you know. That
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And absolutely. And just, you know, that is absolutely, I mean, growing up in South Africa, you see stuff, you know, I saw poverty all the time and that's, you know, was real and is real. And everywhere you go, like just watching the news, you don't even need to travel, just watch the news. I mean, just look at there and how we glorify badness. It's, yeah, it doesn't fly for me. And I've always been really sensitive. I don't watch the news. I haven't in years. I don't listen to the news because I'm too sensitive and I can't do anything about that stuff. So I don't watch it. So it really is. It's all, as long as I can remember as a child, I've always had a personal mission to create great change for the better.
And to be able to, you know, I mean, I've spoken with people before who, you know, work on children's sense of value and sense of self-worth, mm-hmm. and to being told that, you know, you're too loud and that, mm-hmm. and to sort of go as a child, well, stuff you, I don't care. And
yeah, absolutely.
And take that through as an adult, it, mm-hmm. is quite unusual and quite, and it demonstrates that ability to, or that recognition of, no, hang on, I'm in control of my bus and mm-hmm. yeah, and I'm going to drive my own bus.
Absolutely. And I've always, still to this day, like I don't go with the crowd. If I don't feel something's right, I won't participate. I don't have a problem standing on my own 2 feet. I don't have a problem going against the grain. I don't have a problem saying no when everyone else says yes, because I know that I'm not doing it for anyone else. It's at the end of the day, I need to look at myself in the mirror and I need to be happy with who I am. And so many of us as women are told, you know, that we need to please other people. We grow up with the disease to please. We get told that we need to be sweeter. The fairy tales we get told, you know, we get read as a child, you know, be the damsel in distress and someone will come rescue you. And we grow up with we grow up with that rubbish. And Disney, honestly, Disney is to blame for a lot of our illusions.
We wouldn't want to start analysing every one of their movies because I think there'd be a problem. So tell me about the Women on Fire Australia, because I know that's something new that you're working on and it's become something you're very passionate about.
Yeah. So look, Women on – it is awesome because there are so – with most of my clients – I find that they are really isolated. They don't have that wonderful support system around them. So they do have people around them, but not people who will say, what are your dreams? What do you want to achieve? And let me help you get there. And so, you know, you keep getting told that there's mentors, you know, you keep getting told, find yourself a mentor and surround yourself with the right people. And often these wonderful women don't know where to find that. Where do you find that? And where do you also get an opportunity to mix with the women who are hitting their goals and who are smashing it? So, and who are on fire? It's all about igniting your spark and it's about igniting your queendom and understand that none of us are the same. We all have our own queendom. We need to stop comparing ourselves and we need to start working together so we can all thrive collectively. We all have a spark, and with just one spark, you only light a small area. Put all of our sparks together and we create a bonfire and we stop gender inequality. We stop discrimination. We stop all of that. We can only do it together, and women are the most beautiful collaborators. It's what we do naturally. So let's get together as a community and ignite each other and burn bright. And that's what it is. It's a community of amazing women, young, old, single, couple, gay, straight, it doesn't matter. Let's teach each other and learn from each other. It's awesome.
It certainly sounds. I'm really looking forward to learning more about that and getting involved with that, Petra. I know it's going to be something that, as you said, it just gives that people the opportunity to learn from others and to be ignited, to inspire by others as well. It's I have part of a mastermind group and of women. So, and we've had men that wanted to join, but it just changes the dynamic a little bit. So it's not that we certainly can learn a lot from the guys as well, but it just changed the dynamic a bit. So we wanted to be in that space where you could just be.
That's right. And look, you know, it's never about men and women. Like, you know, I'm never saying that, you know, it's not a man hate campaign at all. You know, men are wonderful. They have their own strengths. Yet the system was created by men. And so what we are told as women is we need to change to fit into a system. which is not correct. It's the system that needs to change. And we need both men and women to help change that system. Equally, men, as you were saying, have a different thought process to women. So women supporting women is just awesome, and we need that. We need that more than anything, because if you still look at all the leaderships, 90% of the leaderships in the world are still run by men, CEOs, boards, and all of that. So let's get some awesome femininity in there, and let's be amazing together.
That's one of my passionate subjects with coaching with women in the workplace, and because that's part of where I've sat as well as being a general manager of a business, and that you can still be. And I'm particularly working with women in construction, because it's such a male-dominated world that the perception is they have to have balls or be bitches, and it's not necessary. And I know that from personal experience that you can still succeed. So I'm loving that. You know, that's right down my alley as well.
Awesome.
It's just so exciting, and I love hearing it from different spaces also, and. The dating thing. So how, obviously that works in with this, but it's a side thing, or it's your main thing.
So it did all start off with the dating. So as a dating coach, for me, it is about empowering women to find the person they want to love. Now, women are still told that if they are not selected by their Prince Charming by a certain age, they are going to be on the shelf. There is something wrong with them. They have to take what they can get, you know, all of those things, you know. And you don't. You do not need to wait for a man to come and select you. You can go and find the man that you want. It's as simple as that. You just need to know how. And because a lot of women have been so – it's almost – indoctrinated into believing that, you know, Prince Charming is going to come on the white horse knocking at your door, that they don't take action, because there's actually a stigma attached to taking action to find love. Isn't that interesting? You can go and get a business coach for your business. You can get a mentor for your career. You know, you can, you know, get a loan person for to save and buy a house, a mortgage broker. Yet the minute you start saying, I'm actually going to focus on finding love, there is a real stigma I find. Oh my God. What's wrong with you? Can you not find it yourself? That is exactly what all my clients. And so this is why I say it's absolute discretion. Like that's the reality of the situation. I don't like it, and I want to change that. Mm. Yet people saying that they're using a dating coach, there's still a stigma attached to that.
Mm. And I imagine with a lot of the things that you're doing with them is a lot about that self-esteem.
So it all starts off with the self and the love for the self. You know, confidence is what makes you thrive. And so it all starts with love for yourself, and that's where I start. And it's like, let's get the baggage sorted. Let's get all that stuff out that you don't need, and let's see you for the queen that you are, the beautiful queen that you are, and let's get you shining, you know, and that's inside and outside. So that's where it always starts, because how could you possibly love anyone if you don't love yourself?
No, and that's the basis of it, isn't it? I know I've got some friends that are younger, so in their 30s and 40s, that have never married or have been in long-term relationships, and then sort of figure, well, then it doesn't work out, and then they're left, you know, by themselves. And then others that have been in really long-term relationships and their partner dies, or they're, you know, they realize they become empty nesters, and it's not really what they want. So it's and they're lonely. Yes. They've got amazing friends, great jobs, you know, a whole lot of stuff, fulfilled lives, but it just comes down to that being lonely, isn't it?
The interesting thing is, you know, the one thing that ties us universally is love. It's something we all crave, directly or indirectly. So even our friends give us love, you know, and it's so universal. And yeah, but there's not quite the same as that person, be it male or female, who gives you that hug at the end of the day, who's there, that special someone to take care of you and to know you and to love you the way you are, and also to grow with you, to challenge you, not only be there for you, but to challenge you and to push you and to believe in you at, you know, at any cost, and to be there when things are down and to be honest with you. That's the kind of person, you know. And monogamy is an interesting concept, you know, and that's sort of a different thing. But we all, and women don't like to admit that they're lonely. They don't like to admit it, you know, because once again, it seems a shameful thing.
Mm.
And yet, exactly as you were saying, Janine, they're successful in most aspects of their life. You know, they give that illusion that I'm okay. Yep. You know, I've got the house, I've got the friends, I've got the dog. I'm okay. I don't need anyone.
Mm.
And yet that's the one thing they always crave. And they are bitterly unhappy, bitterly. They don't want to go home. They work long hours because they don't want to go home. You know, and all of that happens.
And that's the, yeah, and that's the focus too. And the when you're in that type of relationship, the you can have, you know, fulfilling friendships, but they're, you know, to have an intimate relationship with somebody as well, that's usually the only person that you're going to have an intimate relationship with,
mm-hmm.
is your partner. So that's not something that you can get elsewhere if that's so that's a critical factor
It's interesting because a lot of women say to me and I've had this all the time, they go, well, what can a man give me that I can't give myself? I'm like, well, you tell me the answer to that question. So can you hug yourself and, you know, give yourself that real beautiful loving hug and tell yourself it's going to be okay? Sex. What about sex? Can you, you know, like, what about just that manly, those manly arms around you? The person who, the guy who's going to fix your car and change your tire, you know, if you choose not to do it, you know, all those amazing things. And you know what happens is women forget what it feels like to be loved. When you're alone for a long time with the women's physiology, her sex drive diminishes. And it's not like men. Men are driven by sex because, you know, of their biology. But with women, it lies dormant until they meet someone that they like, and then that sort of sparks it off again. So women have forgotten what it's like to feel loved. And so then they start getting quite fearful. They start going, I don't need it. And yet they want it, but they're so scared of putting themselves out there because they're so scared of getting hurt. And so they create this criteria for themselves that I have to have the perfect man. And the perfect man just doesn't exist.
There can be traits that you require in somebody, but looking for perfection, you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody is perfect, but there's traits that we want.
Yes. And what happens is it is a real protection mechanism. And with all of my clients, they've had it and they go along and they don't, you know, that's what they don't find love, because they have this unrealistic view of who they think they want. And or they focus on what they don't want and they keep attracting what they don't want. So, or they live such an insular lifestyle that they don't meet anyone ever. And then I go, why am I not meeting anyone? Well, what are you doing about it? You know? And so we put these sabotaging obstacles in our way all the time. And love is beautiful. And if single mums are the perfect example, they're so busy looking after their children. And once the children are grown up, they don't remember what it's like to be loved. And so they go, I don't want a man in my life. I can't be bothered with the hassle. They forgot.
I've heard that statement so many times. I just can't be bothered with the hassle. It's too much. It is. It's too much hassle.
Too much. And you know what? Love is amazing. And I want to give that back to women. Understand. Just give it a go. Just feel that tingle in your stomach, that excitement. Is he going to call? That beautiful, like, rah feeling where you feel like a woman again. You feel amazing, you know? And, that intimacy, that real intimacy, we all crave intimacy, that person to be there, that just that beautiful feeling of giddiness. You know, when you're a teenager, that giddiness, and it doesn't leave you, it stays with you. And that in love feeling is the most, if I could bottle it and sell it, I'd be a billionaire. Because you're on top of the world. Everything goes perfectly. Everything is fun and exciting. And the world just seems a better place when you're in love.
Yeah.
Why would you not want that?
Yeah. And when you're in this throes of the beginning of a relationship, that's sort of where you're sitting then, isn't it? So your methodology to for finding the love interest of your life.
Look, I'm not a fluffy person, and I get really hacked off when I read this fluffy bollocks about, you know, how you should behave and, you know, what men like and don't like and how you should change yourself to attract men and so on and so forth. Look, I come from a marketing background, and I looked at it and I went, it's not rocket science. Dating, so I've taken dating strategies and applied it to marketing strategies and applied it to dating. So the woman is the product, okay?
Right.
So we look at her and we go, okay, so how do we want to package you? First we go, what kind of a relationship do you want and what kind of a man do you want to attract, okay? And then we go, let's look at your packaging. So we focus on what you look like. Then we focus on what you want to attract and how you can change your behavior and your looks to attract that person. And then we just simply go out and we find your target market. Where do they hang out? Go and hang out there. Go and intermingle with them. Go to work. If you want to find someone who's in property, go to property investment seminars. It's as simple as that. And it's not rocket science. It's as simple as that. And so, and they go, but I don't like property seminars. Yes. That's not the point.
It's all about the customer. I mean, I'm in sales.
So, that's right.
It's all about the customer.
Does it? And it's so simple. So it's what's your magic, first of all? So what's your magic? Then who do you want to attract? How are you going to attract them? Where do they hang out? And go and hang out. And it's test and measure.
But I'm just thinking about that. So if somebody said, I want somebody that's in property and they don't want to go to a property thing, that sort of is a bit incongruent, isn't it? Because if they want someone that's in property, then there must be a reason behind it, or there must be somewhere in their value system. So even though a lecture might not be of interest, there must be I'm sort of getting that you're looking for someone with the same values.
Absolutely. So whatever their reason is, so often, so one of the questions I ask is, do you want a spender or an investor? You know, we look at the criteria, like finances is definitely one. So you look at what kind of relationship do we want? How do we communicate? What are our political views, our religious views, our views on money? What's our family background? What's their values? What are your values? What are deal breakers? Where do you want to live? Where's your five-year plan? That's the real important. You have to lay that out so crystal clear because it's your destination. And if you don't know where your destination is, how do you know to ever get there? How do you know the roadmap? How do you know anything? So that is number one. And so number two from there is then going and dating. Now there's such women hate that word dating because they're like, what it spells for women is disaster, rejection, boredom. And that is not the case because what most women want is they want sparks on the first date. Disney, I told you that, Disney. They want sparks on the first date. They want the, oh my God, we're going
to get married. It's in all the married
novels I read. Oh,
I know. I love those novels.
Damn I know. But that's the beautiful imagination.
Yeah.
And so that's why most women don't date. They don't want to put themselves out there. They don't want to get hurt. They have these high expectations. So it's a simple 6-week program that I offer. It's a simple six steps to dating. And it is like rolling the woman in honey and sitting her where her target market is and goes, come on, boys, come and get me.
And then she's in charge then. She can choose.
Can choose. So once she does all of that and, you know, we follow all those marketing principles, she also knows how to communicate. I teach her how to communicate with men. How to show that she's available, how to actually talk back when someone initiates a conversation, how to stop the negative self-talk, you know, how to stop that, oh my God, he doesn't like me, you know, how to stop that, oh my God, he's rejected me, that kind of, you know, that kind of nonsense, you know. So really teaching them and also how to date. Where do you go on a date? Now, I inference dating to a deli. Go to a deli, the best deli in town. And you walk in and you have a cabinet of cakes, beautiful, delicious cakes, and they're all different. Some are like three stories with chocolate dripping off them. Some's a simple fruit tart. Some's delicious cheesecake. And you're sitting there and you've got your face pressed against the glass and you're like, ooh, which one will I buy? And you wouldn't buy a whole cake. You take a slice. You taste one and then you taste another one. And you taste a few of them until you find one that you like. But then you wouldn't buy the whole cake because how do you know that eating the whole cake is not too sickly? So you give it another go. You'd have another taste and you think, oh, I might have a third taste because, you know, you never know. I might have been in a good mood at the time. I may have been in a bad mood. And so by the third or fourth time, you're sort of like, yeah, I quite like this cake. I'm going to choose this cake and I'm going to buy the whole cake. And that's the same as dating.
Mm.
And so check the criteria out. Look at the cake. Give the different cakes a go. Give them a go. You're not marrying them. You're dating them. And give them a go a few times because sometimes, you know, you're having a good day. Sometimes they're having a good day or bad day. And then just give it a go and just let it develop from there because you know what you want. You know what you want. So it's not hard. If you know what you want, you know what you don't want, so you flick it.
Some people listening might be thinking this is a frivolous subject or it's not relevant to them. But, you know, what I'm hearing in this is that we're switching it around.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's about the empowerment of the women to make a choice or not. And obviously, I mean, you work with women who like women as well, don't you?
Not really, no.
No, you don't? Mm-mm. No, okay. Mm-mm. So, but it's women being in charge of what they want to choose, so it flicks everything, doesn't it? It's quite a different concept because normally it's the women sitting along the wall and the men going and asking them to dance. That's mm-hmm. what we're expected. You know, that's what's always happened is the,
mm-hmm.
and they get to choose, the men choose the most attractive to mm-hmm. start. You know, that's, and then the person's left sitting there as opposed to, I really see this as a deep sense of self-empowerment where going, okay, no, that suits me. No, that doesn't. Mm-hmm. That suits me. That's the sort of values I'm looking for. That's, you know, it really sets women up to be a lot more in charge.
Well, the thing is, dating is like anything. It's a game, okay? It's like business is a game and, you know, being in employment is a game. You have to know the rules of the game to play the game to get what you want. So as a dating coach, I help women understand the game, know the rules and to play the rules, which is empowering. It's all about empowering. So what a lot of times happens is that, you know, the first question people ask me is, do you matchmake? And I'm thinking, why would you give someone else the power to find you love? Now, to give you an example, I do a lot of research. I research everything that I do and I go out and I've looked at all the matchmaking services and I had this matchmaking service and the matchmaking service was $4,500 for 6 months and they gave you 4 dates. They guaranteed you 4 dates, okay? And I thought, well, 4 dates is an average of, 1 date's about 3 hours, so 4 times 3 is 12. So that still leaves you what? Like my, you know, I don't know what the exact maths is, but say, for example, that's another 450 hours left out of your day, out of your 6 months. What about those 450 hours that you could be finding someone at the bus stop, in the train station, at work? So it's about empowering you to become your own matchmaker, to give the right signals, to find the right people. And you are empowered by doing that and you get confidence. Your confidence starts thriving and everything starts thriving.
Hmm.
And these principles can be applied to everything in life, everything.
Yeah, I can see that. So where do you think it's going wrong, you know?
Ah, great question. So, you know, as I mentioned before, I think what's happened is now women's rights have come up in the last 40 to 50 years, you know, they've started, you know, where women have been able to get better roles, you know, their women's rights have really increased, but biology hasn't continued, okay? So what women and men from my studies and from my research want on a biological level is men need to procreate to keep the population going. And they want a woman with suit to give them services, okay? So to do the washing, the cleaning, the cooking, because they used to go hunting. So they want to come home and find that all going, okay? Women, on the other hand, need a man with resources, someone who can look after her and her children. So that's how we work on a biological level.
Okay, so that's biological. That's not just something that's come from the 50s that we're still carrying through, but it's actually in our DNA.
In the DNA, that's correct. And it's come from millions of years for the survival of the, of humanity.
And there's going to be a lot of people listening to this going, no way, no way, no way, no way, no way.
I know. And this is what happened. So, of course, we've moved ahead and times have changed, okay? And so this is where a lot of the confusion comes in now, because now women are like, well, I don't need a man to give me resources anymore, and I don't need a man to give me children, actually. You don't really need men to give you children anymore. And so there's a real problem there, because men don't know what they expected to do anymore. Men don't know what to give women anymore. They don't know how to approach women anymore. And women don't actually know how to allow men in anymore. So that's a real confusion, and it really hurts women. So what's also happened now is I call it the over-sexualized economy, that men can very happily sow these seeds because that's what they're designed to do. Men have sex and love in different parts of their brain. So they can even sleep with someone they don't like. It's just something they do. They're just yanking the chain, if I can be so blunt. And women have now started doing that as well. You know, you look at something like Tinder, where it's the flick and the hookup kind of dating app. Yet that's not how women function. Women do not express love through sex.
So do you think even the people that are doing that are still looking for more?
Absolutely, 100%. You know, they definitely want love, you know, and sex is sex, you know. So this is it. This is over-sexualized economy is really hurting women. They are once again adopting a man's way and not a woman's way. And so that's where it sort of goes wrong a little bit as well. Once again, the biology, the evolution, that's clashing. So the roles are a bit skewed, and we're still finding out how to handle each other now and how to treat each other. So that's a lot of it. And then also, once again, men and women date very differently, and women put their female expectations on men. Now, the beautiful thing about men is they're so uncomplicated. So uncomplicated.
I've raised two. Well, three if you class my husband as well.
That's right. And you must, like, when a man says, I like you, he means I like you.
Absolutely.
It doesn't.
That's what I've said with raising the boys. All you have to do is feed them and love them, and it's really simple.
Absolutely. But women go, oh, but did he mean he likes me, or did he mean he likes me a little bit? So they play those games with each other. And a funny example of that is, like, one of my clients got stood up by a man she met online. And he'd be missing her around a bit. And so she goes, I am not dating for the next 6 months. I'm taking myself off. That's it. Okay. Where a guy on the flip side goes, well, you stood me up, sweetheart. I'll show you. I'm going to date 600 other women. So that's the difference in attitude.
It is.
Okay.
Very much so.
And
yes.
Once again, what is it that women do that all the time? They one bad guy and they decide to turn off the whole dating scene. But there's so many other men out there waiting for them, you know, waiting for them to come along. And so that's also where it goes terribly wrong. And I think another one really is, you know, not dealing with your past baggage. Easy. Self-explanatory.
We talked about this on another podcast, and we're talking about the baggage, and some people have little tiny suitcases, but some people, you envisage this massive suitcase that's, you know, stuff full and overloaded on the heavy pile.
And the irony, Janine, is all the women that I talk to and coach go, I don't want a man with baggage.
And they themselves have none.
You're like, sweetheart, like everyone has baggage. You know, you're not perfect, you know. And I always say to women, who are you? Are you God's gift to earth? You know, are you that person? So they always like, I want the man who suits my needs, who will give me what I want. I said, yes, but what are you willing to give?
Yeah.
And so it's so self-centered. you know, and that's what happens when you're single for a long time. I call it bachelorette habits. You become so self-centered. And of course, the another one, and this is a reflection of society's instant gratification. I don't want to do any work, but I want it all to happen for me. I want it to happen now. I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. I don't want to go on dates. I don't want to do anything differently.
See, the thing is with that, and you're just talking about the dating stage. I've been married for 35 years. Mm-hmm. It takes work.
Yes.
All of it takes work.
Mm-hmm.
So the first part, the middle part, the continuous part, it all takes work. So to sit back and go, the perfect, it, I think they're called probably a slave. As opposed, you know, at my bidding, here, just do what I want, which is not what we want.
Absolutely not. And you know what? Relationships are places where you grow together. And, you know, relationships are work. And, you know, this is the thing with fairy tales. Oh, yeah, they got together and lived happily ever after. But what happens after the happily ever after day?
Yeah, what happens after they have children?
Children. Yeah, and so that's, you know, that's sort of what we're taught. And that's what needs to stop. Dating is fun. It is fun and it's exciting. It's a wonderful time to meet new people, to explore things about yourself, to try new things. Just do it. You just need to know how it works. That's all it is. It's a game like anything else.
So I suppose, yeah, and that's the important thing as well is, so going wrong is they just don't have the knowledge.
That's it. They don't have the knowledge because they still think it has to happen organically. It has to happen naturally. Hey, no one teaches us this stuff. Who teaches us? Where do we get taught how to date? Where do we get taught how to interact with men? Where do we get taught to be flirtatious and sexy and, you know, to come into our own? No, we don't. We get taught don't put yourself out there. We get taught stop being so vain. All those things that come out. But you, my goodness, every woman's sexy. Everything about, there's something sexy about every woman. And you don't have to look a certain thing. You know, research shows that men, of course, like all sorts, like women like all sorts. Mm. But when you're in a wealthier country, men like slender women, okay, because there's abundance. So they like someone who has slender, who looks after themselves. Of course, in poorer countries where there's scarcity, they like a fuller woman because, of course, that means she's wealthier and she's more productive as
now,
well.
Now, that's very interesting. Mm. Oh, yeah, that's, and, yeah, I can see that in the places that I've traveled.
Because once again, it comes back down to biology because men are meant to sow these seeds and they choose women who look like they are fruitful. And this is why men go for younger women as well.
That makes sense, yeah.
Because they look fruitful. That's it's a simple fact. Mm. And so, yes, of course, the older men go for younger women. It is a fact. Because of their biology. And often women go, oh, men go for younger women. Yes, I'm afraid that's true. But that doesn't mean that, you know, they won't go for you. Just maybe go for a little bit of an older man.
So I can see that there's definitely benefits of, you know, having a dating coach. So how did you get into it though?
Well, you know, I'm a qualified life coach and I do NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. And it was funny because I noticed, you know, I have a lot of single friends and I noticed that they were telling themselves the same lies I was telling myself when I was single. And I thought something's going desperately wrong here. And I know how wonderful love is. Like I'm married, I've been married for a while. I know it has its up and downs, but I know it's awesome. And it saddens me to see, go to a pub or somewhere or go out and see all these young or all these women looking around, desperately looking for love. And it's so, and lying to themselves. It's a protection mechanism. And I thought, I have the skill to help these women. I can help them. I can help them gain with confidence. I can help them with a dating game. I can help them understand men better. And so that's where I decided there was a great need there for someone to help women find love. And I had the skill and the inspiration and, of course, sex, attraction, human behavior are three of my greatest interests. I've always been fascinated about it. I study it, I research it because I love it. And so that's, you know, if you can see human behavior anywhere, it's with relationships mm-hmm. and the attraction and the dating. So that's really where my passion and my drive lies. And so I have a lot of knowledge and a lot of skills to help women to achieve great love.
And so what would you suggest, how do you suggest that women start dating?
Ooh, good question. So once again, as I said, first, decide what you want. So that's number one.
Which cake? Which piece of cake?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh. And that's the main thing. Decide gluten-free or...
But I know if I was looking in that window, that it's pretty hard to choose. So we get to choose a few
bits of cake. Yes, absolutely. Cool. And so first of all, do that. And then sort yourself out first. Step number one, like just look at yourself. Recognize your awesomeness. Start looking at what is good about you, what is awesome about you, what do you love about yourself. And what you don't love about yourself, change it. If you feel you're a bit overweight, change it. If you don't like your hair, change it. Okay? So really start getting comfortable with yourself. And then I highly recommend before you start dating, start getting a bit more comfortable around men. Okay, so start going to like networking events or social events where there are men where you can start interacting with men, because that's a real thing where women, they don't know what to say. They feel so awkward around men. So get a little bit more comfortable and then ask friends first. Go for warm leads. You know, in marketing, go for a warm lead. You don't need a cold lead. Cold leads are hard to get, okay?
they are. I was just thinking that with your previous statement and at the networking events, you know, and I, with part of the coaching is I say if you're going to a networking event expecting to make a sale, forget it. Mm-hmm. That's not what you're there for. You're there to build relationships. Mm-hmm. And I can see that similar sort of thing with this as well, is that you're not – this whole thing of expecting this on the first date, you know, to have the fireworks and is wrong thinking. It's mm-hmm. about building relationships and being authentic. It's, mm-hmm. it's exactly like a sales process. You can't expect somebody's going to buy from you from that first time you meet them.
Absolutely.
So you need to build the levels of trust and recognition that there's a connection and that you can both, it can be a win-win situation mm-hmm. for both. Mm-hmm. So as you were sort of saying that, I'm thinking, and then you brought up the cold calling, I'm going, that's exactly right. It's about building relationships.
And that's why marketing principles work so well for dating. Mm. And I've just, for my last week for the 6-week coaching programs this Monday, and the women on there, I have 4 women on there, they are all out there dating mm. and I have pushed them out of their comfort zone big time. I have made sure, I said, get out there, there's a perception of you out there. They've had to ask 6 people what people think of them. Right. What do you think of my physical looks? What do you think of my behavior? What do you think of my tone of voice? What do you think of my breath? Really? So it's the packaging, because everyone has a perception of you out there. You need to know what the perception is. So if you don't like what the perception is, you need to change it, because these people are your best salespeople. These people are going to promote you. So you need to make sure that they have the right perception of you, and that's where the personal branding comes in. What is the brand out there of yourself, you know? So you need to know all of that stuff before you even go out there dating.
Would be quite a big challenge for most people to go, tell me what I need to fix.
And it's a tough one because we don't want to hear it, but the thing is, whether you hear it or not, the perception's still out there. And then they, of course, they need to just – always feedback. So I make them go out there all the time asking for feedback, and it's a tough gig, yet they do have a raving fan to support them along the way, so they do have someone.
Yeah, so and that supports, and that's the essential thing with something like this, as opposed to just somebody going and doing it themselves, mm-hmm. is they've got the support not only of your coaching, but I imagine working with the people in a group would be very supportive of each other.
Absolutely, and you can learn from each other. And then, interestingly enough, they learn that they're not that different. They think they're so different and that their problems are their own, you know, they're the only one experiencing that, and they're not. And then they realize how they're lying to themselves and how all of them are lying to themselves. Mm. But generally by the time I do the two-day event, which is at the end of the coaching, the six-week coaching sessions, they have jumped so far that the conversations we've had in the beginning are obsolete because that doesn't even come up anymore. That lack of confidence, I don't know. And I'll give you a beautiful example. One of my clients would go to a networking function. She would not even look at a man. Oh, she would be so insecure. She wouldn't even look at the man. She has now gone to networking functions of 300 people, gone to two strange men and asked them to give her feedback on her appearance.
Goodness me, that's
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's amazing. How honest were they with me?
It's interesting. Yeah, that's not the point though. The fact is,
she's done it.
She's gone. She's done that.
Yeah.
And so now she started dating men who she would never have put in her criteria because we work on letting go of your criteria. And so she's quite a lovely, tall lady. And so she's gone out and she started dating shorter men. Mm-hmm. And she's had a marvelous time because they're interesting and they're funny. And she doesn't have to hook up with them, but she's still giving herself the opportunity to meet different types of men and not to cut out. And this is amazing. I'm so proud of her. So proud. So it won't be long until she finds someone she really connects with. And that's awesome. So coming back to the original question of how do you start dating. So definitely warm leads, ask friends. Ask friends to set you up. Yeah, ask them. And it's awesome. And then once you're more comfortable with that, then you start going to where your target market is. Then you start going to online dating. I wouldn't recommend bars and pubs, but go to seminars where there's interesting men, go to singles events, just go to different festivals, just get out there. You have to get out there to meet different people and you need to start dating.
Mm.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah. And I imagine that if some of the stuff they've got is, you know, the baggage they've got with them, and so they probably have to make space and delete those past things and really cleanse themselves as well.
Well, I love that you're using the word cleanse because I do something. So before we even look, I meet with all my clients to start off with. We have to know that we're a good match and I need to know that I can help them. And there's some people who say they want to find love, but they're not ready. You know, they're not ready to let that in. And so when someone decides to come on board, I do something called a singles cleanse. And that is exactly it, making space. So I go and I spend a few hours with them and I go to their home and I make sure that they have made space. So that means get rid of ex's photos. That means get rid of your cat toy thing that's sitting in the middle of the lounge, okay? Meg, I do something.
I've got a visual at that.
You know, there's towers. Well,
I think it's an RACQ ad on TV where the woman didn't have the repair and so she didn't get to the date, so she became the cat woman with thousands of cats.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so that's where I was going with all these hundreds of cats.
Hundreds of cats, the cat woman. Beautiful cats, poor things that get a bad rap. And and literally it is, I physically make them make space in their house for a new relationship, for a man, clear out the drawer, clear out some space, man. And then look at the diary, clear out some space in the diary to start focusing on the dating and focusing on meeting people. Because that's what happens. People don't stop their schedules. You have to make space, you know, and making space is clear out any baggage. So if they haven't cleared the baggage, we work on clearing that. You have to make space. It's as simple as that, you know.
So we've covered a lot of topics, but how would you say that you differ from other dating coaches? Are there a lot of dating coaches around?
There's not.
Okay.
Well, no, there's not.
Oh, well, that's good, being in a market where there's not a lot of the people doing the same thing. So if there was, there must be something other than you're talking about electronic dating and matching up. So how do you differ from those?
Yeah, great question. Thanks for that. No, there's not a lot of dating coaches around in Australia because it's a really new concept, actually, because finding love, you know, actually physically and mentally going ahead and finding love is so new, okay? As I said, I'm a no-fluff practical person. So the fact that I've actually taken marketing principles and applied it to dating really works. Hands down, I've seen it work. And so it's not the fluff and just get out there and, you know, all of that. It's real practical, easy to follow information that they can implement not only in the dating world but also in their whole life. And as far as I know, no one's taking marketing principles and applied it to dating. And it works a bomb. So I love it. And that's what makes me different, is that I do take practical, easy to follow marketing principles, and I've applied that to dating.
Yeah. And as you said before, that creating that personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love that statement, because who are we, mm-hmm. and what do we want to project? So what we're projecting is what we're receiving as well. So, yeah. So that's what we'll get back.
Absolutely. And I think also, you know, and I honestly, every coach out there is amazing. We're respective of what you coach, and yet we don't resonate with everyone, and everyone doesn't resonate with us, you know, as you know, you're a coach as well, Janine. So because I call a spade, and I'm very honest and I'm very direct, and I'm like, I will get your results. You just need to know that I believe in you 100%, but I'm going to push you because I know you can do it. And so, and not everyone resonates to their directness.
No.
Yeah.
I often say, when it gets to, I'll slap you around the head. I know I'm very direct as well.
Yes.
But it's just, okay. And sometimes people just need that. It's a wake up. You know, it's this serious that you and I are that passionate about you changing the way you're doing something and you getting the results that you want to get, that we're going to, as you said, push you way out of something that you're comfortable with. And
yeah. The interesting thing is, and that's why I think a lot of business women and women in sort of senior management are really attracted to me, because they're so used to smashing goals anyway. Mm. So they understand what it takes to smash goals. They understand that, you know, feedback's important, and they understand the concept of test and measure. And so that's sort of what I really work on. And so when I say to a woman who's already doing that in their everyday life, this is what we're going to do, she understands. And so that's sort of who resonates with me on a higher level. Yeah.
Mm. And so if we had three takeaways,
mm-hmm.
can you tell me what they would be?
The first one is, you deserve love. Oh, you know, there's so many amazing people who go, I don't deserve it, or it's never going to happen for me, or there's something wrong with me, or whatever it is that you're telling yourself. No, you deserve love. Everyone does. Our capacity to love is abundant. That's the one thing we have that we can never run out of, love and compassion. It is so wonderful. And so know that you deserve love. And secondly, know that you can get what you want. You don't need to wait for Prince Charming. You don't need to wait for anyone to tell you who you can marry or who you can be with. You can get what you want. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing. And don't ever let anyone tell you that there's something wrong with that. Because once again, they're projecting their stuff onto you.
Mm.
So you just go, who cares about other people? Because you know what? You go fight through that and you go get amazing love, and then you go be lying there with a very juicy man caressing you. So that's awesome.
And this is probably something that does come up for a lot of women, because, you know, a lot of them would have had friends that have been married for a very long time, and so they're going, well, I'm going to a dating coach. And then they'd be, well, why? Why mm-hmm. would you need to do that? You're such a lovely person, mm-hmm. you know. Well, and then that person doubts themselves as to the value of a dating coach, even though they know deep down that having that feeling of love in their life is so important. And it is hard for other people to understand who have been in longer-term relationships.
Absolutely. So when you're in a couple, it's hard to understand what it's like to be single mm-hmm. again. You know, it really is. And, you know, the interesting thing, Janine, is 95% of my clients are 50 plus.
Mm.
So they are older. And that's because I believe they are more comfortable in their own skin. Mm. They've done the career thing. And they're now sort of getting to the stage where, actually, I really want to find someone special to spend the rest of my life with. So they passed all that, you know, career baby stuff. So, yeah, and friends, as well-meaning as they are, they're the ones who keep you stuck, because mm. they lie to you. And they don't mean to, but they do lie. And, you know, generally you are single there's a reason why you're single, whether it's your baggage or whether it's how you're presenting yourself or whether it's that you're not getting out there or whether it's you don't know how it all works, but there is a reason why you're single. And so when friends go, oh, you're so amazing, I don't know why you're single, it's like, well, there is a reason.
And again, they're not the best people to tell you, but someone like yourself is.
Because I don't have an ulterior motive. My only motive is to give people love. And so I will do whatever I can to do that. So, yeah, absolutely. And so, of course, the third takeaway and probably the most important one, as I said, is you have to love yourself always. There is no way you can have a good relationship if you don't love yourself, because you're constantly craving for someone to give you affirmation. You're constantly craving for someone to tell you that they love you because you need that. No. Look yourself in the mirror and go, hey, hot stuff. And you know what? You have to date yourself. You have to want to date yourself, okay?
Good point. Yeah. You have to want to date yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you cannot look in the mirror and honestly say, hey, hot stuff, I totally date you, then you need to do a little bit of work and also feel comfortable saying that in public. You know, I have no problem, and this is, you know, not floating, but I have no problem telling people that I'm awesome. I am absolutely awesome. Hell yeah. Do I love myself? Damn right. Do I care if you have a problem with that? No, because I know who I am. And so that's what I want for every woman.
Yeah.
I love myself.
And there's not a lot of people that can stand there and say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a shame that it, it can't be said. Now, a couple of final words of wisdom.
Ooh, final words of wisdom. What's the word of the pearls? You know what? The world is an amazing place. You have your own queendom. And you belong here just as much as everyone else does. So the one thing successful people have in common is that they have nothing in common. They have identified their difference and leveraged it. Do not compare yourself to other people. You are a queen. You have your own queendom. Nurture that, leverage that, and love that. And everyone around you will love that too, and the world will love you back.
No, that's excellent. Some beautiful pearls in there, so I really appreciate it. So again, tell us your website and what you've got coming up. Well, probably not what you've got coming up because we're not sure when the podcasts are being aired, but, you know, where people can get information about what you offer.
Yeah, totally. So the website is called Igniting Sparks Coaching because it's all about igniting your spark. So please hop on there. There's some exciting things happening on there. And also, if you'd like to join the Women on Fire Australia community, love to have you on board. So go to the Women on Fire Australia Facebook page. Jump on there. Once again, everything is on the website, Igniting Sparks Coaching.
That's beautiful. And thank you very much for sharing that with us today, Petra. And remember, it's Petra Williams from Igniting Sparks Coaching. Mm-hmm. Some great pearls of wisdom there. And not just for women that are wanting to date, but women in general, you know, when we're looking for that sense of self-worth and a valuable contribution to the We Are Women podcast. And I really want to thank you for today.
Oh, and thank you for giving me this wonderful opportunity to share my passion and my love and just to change women's life one person at a time.
Thanks, Petra.
Thank you.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.